It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Fresh Oil. I've been talking from my book, Breaking Free, A Biblical Journey Through Depression, this week, and I've been dealing with some laryngitis, and I've been breaking free from laryngitis all week long. But I thank you for joining me. Hopefully, you've been able to understand me. You know, the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel provides one of the most powerful examples in Scripture of how God can transform our deepest pain into our greatest purpose. Hannah was trapped in a cycle of grief that seemed to have no resolution. She was barren in a culture where a woman's worth was measured by her ability to bear children. She was tormented by her husband's other wife, who had children, and she was misunderstood even by well-meaning spiritual leaders. And the pain was so overwhelming that Hannah couldn't eat. She wept constantly, and she was in bitterness of soul. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, it put it this way: when she went into the temple to pour out her heart to God, her prayer was so desperate that Eli the priest thought she was drunk, and he rebuked her for it. You see, friend, but Hannah's response to Eli reveals something crucial about her character. "I'm a woman who is deeply troubled," she said. "I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. See, Hannah had learned to take her pain directly to God rather than letting it make her bitter towards others. This is the first step in transformation. When you refuse to let your suffering poison your heart against God and against His people. The prayer that changed everything. Listen to Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. Her prayer was in the temple. It was so raw and so honest. Listen to what she said: "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." What a promise. Now, this wasn't a bargaining prayer. It was a surrender prayer. Hannah was essentially saying, "God, if you'll trust me with this gift, I will trust you with how it's used." She was willing to receive her heart's desire only if she could give it back to God for his purposes. This represents a crucial turning point in dealing with depression and loss, friend. Instead of demanding that God restore what we've lost or give us what we want, we begin to ask how our pain might be used for His purposes and the healing of others. Listen to the transformation that happened. After Hannah made her vow, something remarkable happened. The Bible says, "Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast." See, she hadn't even received the answer to her prayer yet. Samuel wouldn't be born for another year. But the act of surrendering that pain to God's purposes had already begun to transform her. See, friend, you might be dealing with pain and loss today in your life. You're dealing with depression. But when you give it to God, He can transform your life so quickly. When Samuel was finally born, Hannah kept her promise. After weaning him, she brought him to the temple and gave him to Eli to be raised in service to God. And this moment is captured in one of the most beautiful prayers in the Old Testament. It's often called Hannah's Song. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 2, the first two verses. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Friend, notice that Hannah doesn't sing about finally having a son. She sings about God's character. and God's deliverance. Her joy doesn't come from getting what she wanted, but from seeing how God had woven her story into his larger purpose. What makes Hannah's story particularly relevant for those who are recovering from depression is how her personal pain became a source of blessing for an entire nation. Samuel, the son born from her years of anguish, became one of Israel's greatest prophets and judges. He anointed both Saul and David as kings, and he played a crucial role in Israel's transition from the period of judges to the monarchy. You see, Hannah's barrenness and her desperation weren't obstacles to God's plan. They were a part of it. He knew it from the very beginning, and the intensity of her longing, the depth of her prayer life, her willingness to surrender her gift back to God, it prepared her to be the mother of someone who would shape the destiny of God's people. This is how redemption works, friend. God doesn't waste our pain. I wrote a song called God Don't Waste Pain, and it came after over a year of pain in my life when I discovered that God uses our pain to build character in our life and to accomplish his purposes. He uses it to develop character qualities in us that we couldn't have gained in any other way. And then he uses those qualities to serve purposes we could have never imagined. In Isaiah 61 and verse 3, it describes God's ability to give beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Now, this isn't some power mind over matter thinking or power of positive thinking. It's a real process by which God transforms the raw materials of our suffering into something beautiful and useful. Ashes become beauty when our broken places become sources of compassion for others who are breaking, friend. Our mourning becomes joy when we discover that our losses have created space for new kinds of relationships and purposes we couldn't have imagined before. And then our despair becomes praise when we see how God has been faithful in seasons we couldn't even feel his presence. He was there all the time. This transformation doesn't happen automatically, friend. It requires cooperating with God and his healing process, and making some intentional choices about how we'll use our pain. You know, Henry Nouwen, he wrote about the concept of the wounded healer. The idea that our wounds, when properly healed, become the source of our power to heal others. This isn't about using our pain as a badge of honor. It's not about wallowing in the past suffering that we've gone through, but it's allowing God to redeem our experiences for the benefit of others. Did you know that some of the most effective counselors are those who have walked through their own mental health struggles? Some of the most compassionate pastors are those who've experienced spiritual doubt and darkness and overcome those moments. Some of the most powerful advocates for the hurting are those who have been hurt deeply themselves. This doesn't mean that we should be grateful for our pain or that God causes suffering to create ministers, but it does mean that God is so good at redemption that he can take even the worst things that happen to us and he can weave them into stories of hope that encourage others. Let's talk for a few moments today about that process of redemption. See, the transformation from victim to victor to wounded healer, it doesn't happen overnight. It's usually a process that includes several stages. First, acknowledgement of the pain. Before pain can ever be redeemed, it must be acknowledged and grieved. We can't transform what we won't admit exists. Hannah didn't minimize her barrenness or pretend it didn't matter. It did matter. She felt the full weight of her loss. Secondly, honest, wrestling with God. Hannah brought her real raw emotions to God, even when they were messy and desperate. Even when Eli thought she was drunk, she was that broken. See, redemption often begins with honest prayer that doesn't pretty up our feelings or sanitize our doubts. It says, God, this is where I'm at, and this is how I desperately need you. And then thirdly, surrender of the outcomes. God, the outcome, it belongs to you. The turning point for Hannah came when she surrendered her desired outcome to God's purposes. This doesn't mean becoming passive, oh no, but it does mean releasing our death grip on how we think things should turn out. Give it to God, friend. And then four, cooperation with healing. See, Hannah didn't just pray and wait. She participated in the process by fulfilling her vow and raising Samuel to serve God. And then the final stage of redemption is when our healed wounds become sources of healing for others, service to others. Our pain gains meaning when it becomes a tool for alleviating the pain that others are feeling. See, for someone in the depths of depression today, the idea that their pain could ever be used for good might feel impossible or maybe even offensive. You might be saying today, Keith, how can you say my suffering has purpose when I can barely survive it? And that's a valid question, friend, that deserves an honest answer. The truth is that redemption is often invisible while we're in the middle of the pain. Hannah, she couldn't see that her barrenness was preparing her to raise a prophet while she was weeping in the temple. Job couldn't see that his losses would inspire millions of sufferers throughout thousands of years while he was sitting in the ash heap. Sometimes we have to trust that redemption is happening even when we can't see it. See, friend, redemption, it develops character in ways that can't be measured immediately. You can't always see it. Compassion, perseverance, and faith, they're often forged in the fire of suffering. And then redemption, it creates capacity for relationships and ministry that would never have existed without the pain. People who have never suffered often can't sit with others who are suffering. There's times when I can say to people, I know how you feel because I've been there. Friend, redemption reveals the faithfulness of God in ways that smooth sailing never could. Some attributes of God can only be experienced in the midst of difficulty. And then finally, friend, redemption, it writes stories that others need to hear. Your survival of depression might be the hope that someone else needs to survive their own story, friend. We've been talking about breaking free from depression this week. It's been an important week. I've shared with you my own personal struggle as God has touched my life and redeemed me from the pits. I trust you've been blessed this week. Walk in grace, friend, and remember, He loves you with an everlasting love. He really does.
If you enjoy the ministry of Fresh Oil, we invite you to check out Keith's books, which are available on Amazon.com. Keith has a memoir entitled, This Is My Story. In this book, he shares personal stories of divine encounters, answered prayers, as well as the battles he has faced as a pastor. Keith's book, Christ in the Seven Feasts of Israel, shares a picture of Jesus the Messiah, found in the ancient feast days God gave to Israel to celebrate. His book, The Grace Revolution, which Keith recently taught on Fresh Oil, is also available in paperback, hardcover, and the Kindle ebook. For more information, go to Amazon.com and search Keith Manley Books.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.